Realto. Were you personally in that attack on Hill 327?
Oh, yes, yes. The day before, I know one, the officer in my platoon, myself, and two other men for private flocks in Spilsbury, I think, were sent on a recce patrol up the hill to sort out the enemy positions.
What happened on the recce?
Well, I know everything went quite well until we were about three parts up the hill, and then we come under mortar and artillery fire. So we withdrew then.
Was anybody hit?
No.
What did you conclude about the strength of the enemy then?
Well, they seemed to be in quite large numbers. We didn't see many of them. We saw about a dozen, I should imagine, but they were obviously there in quite large numbers.
Who's in charge of the recce?
An officer called Simcox, Lieutenant Simcox, I believe.
What was the terrain on the hill like?
Oh, very steep. You know, all the country in North Korea was very hilly.
Any vegetation?
Very sparse there at that point.
Then what happened after the recce patrol?
Well, we come back, reported, and the attack was going in the following day.
Did that involve you?
Yes. D Company, we were going up one side, leading up one side, and I believe it was B Company coming up on our right flank. We got about halfway up and come out of there heavy machine gun fire from our right flank. And the same officer, same cops, and myself, and the same two again, were detailed to go and knock out the machine gun post. We got within about 15, 20 yards of it. The lieutenant got up to throw a grenade, and he was killed instantly, shot through my heart. I threw a phosphorus grenade, which exploded on the edge of the trench where the machine gun nest was. Two Chinese run off, and they're shot by Private Fox.
Was this in the night time or the day?
Daytime, yes, sir. During the daytime. Another patrol had come from A Company with the same purpose, coming up on the other side. They were led by Sergeant Bill Priest, and he took a round in the behind. He was wounded.
How had you managed to get so near without being seen if it was in daylight?
Crawling, and put the, through the low scrub there.
How did you feel when you were doing this job? Were you scared?
Well, I was. My first close combat with the enemy. And especially after the officer was shot, sort of brought it home to you. But,
did you stand up to throw the grenade?
No.
How far did you throw it?
Well, about 20 yards, 15, 20 yards. It was a phosphorus grenade, which with those you land in the vicinity and you don't have to lob it into the trench because it sprays out and, phosphorus burns and that got them.
Were the Chinese scattered with the phosphorus, do you think?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, they run off then. And they were shot by Private Fox.
But were they alight?
Can't really recall, to be honest.
There was just the two of them manning the machine gun?
Yes. That was the only two we saw, yeah.
Was the machine gun captured?
Well, we didn't bother to get it because Sergeant Priest and his squad were coming up the other side. And we were recalled by the company commander.
What then happened in the Battle for the Hill?
We carried on. We took the top of the hill. There were three features. We took the first feature and were resting below the crest of the hill. I recall that a shell landed and wiped out Corporal Jones, who was another corporal in the same platoon with me. Wiped out his complete section, landed in the middle of them, which was about 20 yards away from where we were hauled up. Then after that, we moved forward. But the Chinese had evacuated the other two features then, more or less. They just a bit of sporadic fighting, and we captured the three hills.
Had you suffered many casualties in doing so?
Had a few. It must have been about, the Ron Jones section. Must have been about a dozen men altogether.
How did everybody feel at the end of the battle?
Elated that we'd took the position.
What did the Chinese look like?
Well, they, at the time, they were wearing their K-pop gear. This is the end of the winter. This is a thick, padded suit in, gym shoes, and padded hats with flaps down over their ears.
What did you think of them as fighters?
You got them more of their courage, you know. They seem to keep coming regardless of the fire you put down.
Did you capture any?
Oh, yes, yeah. Captured a few on 327. They were moved back to the rear.
How were they treated?
Oh, they were treated quite well, I think. We only saw them initially, you know. I think frontline soldiers, you've got a certain admiration for your opponents, and they were certainly not ill-treated by us, anyhow, not at the start. And
was anything taken off them?
No, not as far as I recall. I wasn't personally involved with taking them back.
When you went into the attack, what weaponry did you have yourself, apart from the grenade?
Sten gun. Sten guns. Section leaders had Sten guns. Riflemen had the usual, the Enfield rifles. We had a Bren gunner in the section, led by your Lance Corporal, your 2IC.
Did you prefer the Sten gun to the rifle?
Sten gun was better for close quarter fighting. Obviously didn't have the range of it was an automatic weapon, didn't have the range of the rifle.
What happened to you after Hill 327?
We moved back to a defensive position. And then after a while, we moved up to the engine.
What positions did you take up there?
Well, D Company, we had this hill one side of the main supply route, overlooking the river. The river was, if I recall, about a mile and a half in front of our positions. A Company was on our left flank, on the other side of the main supply route. And we had B Company on our right flank, which was protecting our right flank.
Did you expect any trouble there?
Not initially, because intelligence reports we had that there were no Chinese, you know, within a few miles of our position. In fact, we were expecting to advance farther up again, you know, but as it was, we stayed in that position funny thing was, I got sent on leave to Japan for 7 days rest and recuperation, as they call it, leave in Japan. And I'd come back on the Saturday. The battle started on the Sunday, and I was captured on the Wednesday.
Can you describe in detail what you remember of the events on the Saturday, Sunday, and Monday, please?
Oh, yes. Remember them quite well. The Saturday night, we were told that large numbers of Chinese were advancing, and we brought extra supplies up, ammunition and grenades. My section, we were the leading platoon, 11th platoon. We were the leading platoon in, on this hill feature. And about 10 o'clock, I think it was, in the evening, it was dark by then, we heard sounds of heavy firing, which was coming from our left, which we found out after was a patrol from A Company who were down at the river crossing and ambushed the Chinese as they tried to come across the ford there. Then about 10:30, we had large movements in front of our positions. We had trip flares out. These started going off, and we saw these large numbers of Chinese attacking up the hill to our front. We opened fire, and they just seemed to keep coming. You know, our position got overrun initially, but they were mopped up behind. That first night, we had three major attacks come up the hill. We had hand-to-hand fighting in the trenches with them. The following morning, company commander withdrew us back about 100 yards along the top of the feature and took up fresh positions further back. There was only 11 of us from my platoon got out of that particular night.
Can you describe how any of your comrades were killed?
Only one personally. Our brain guns seized up with over firing, and we called for extra brain guns, which come up, reservists come up. I'm just trying to think of his name. Dix, I think his name was. He come in with his brain gun. He'd been all through the last war. We were firing away and running short of ammo by then. The platoon commander, who was in the trench behind us, he threw bandoliers down, which landed on the top behind our trench. This private Dix stood up and reached back, and as he did so, he took a machine gun burst through his head, and that killed him there. The other one on my left, my lance corporal, he was wounded and evacuated.
How was he wounded?
The mortar, I believe, had him. Two on my right, fireman, keep saying fireman, Private Fox in Smilesbury, they were occupying the trench about 8 yards to my right. They were overwhelmed. They had two Chinese dead in the trench with them. When we evacuated the position, they feigned they were dead. They got blood off of the dead Chinese, put it on their face, and just slept still when the position was overrun by the Chinese. The Chinese took one look at them, threw a grenade in with them, I've heard this since from them, and left them. They stayed there for another day, I think, before they were finally caught. The hill was occupied by the Chinese by then. The D Company had withdrawn by then back to the main Gloucester Hill.
During the fighting, how many rounds do you think you fired?
What's the job to say? No, it's more or less continuous firing, you know, most of the night. Like I say, we had three waves of attack come in, and we expended most of the grenades we had there, and we had quite a few of those down over the hillside. And like I say, the Bren guns were firing continuous. They overheated, and even after changing the barrels and that, they seized up. That was initially, and we were more or less firing continuously, you know, from during the night.
How good a view could you get of the advancing Chinese?
Oh, quite. Well, they were close up in, with the flares and what were going up. We had, you could see them quite clearly. And we were still there at dawn. In the half light, you could see them. But they withdrew them for some reason, whether they were afraid of air power or what. But that's when we... orders to withdraw from that position and take up defensive position farther back.
How did you feel during the fighting against the advancing Chinese?
Well, you didn't have much time for feeling up during the actual fighting, but afterwards you know, it's pretty upsetting when you see your comrades killed like that. And,
but did you think it was the end for you?
I did at the time, yes. Yeah, I didn't think we'd get out of there. Not at that stage.
Did you think of surrendering?
Not at the time, no.
Why not?
Just installed in you not to, unless you were ordered to.
Do you think you inflicted many casualties on them?
Oh, yes, yes. They were piled up down over the hillside. Yeah. They kept coming in waves, large numbers of them. And like I say, you had to admire their courage in a way, because they, however intense the fire, they seemed to just keep coming. In fact, one law in the fighting, that was busy filling up Sten gun magazines. And heard this noise and looked over, there was three of them within about 15 yards of our position, collecting the rifles from the dead ones. I, you know, promptly shot the three of them, you know, emptied the full Sten gun mag into them, make sure they were dead because they were within grenade throwing range, and afraid they might be just wounded and throw a grenade into the trench.
Did they have fixed bayonets?
Oh, yes, yeah. Oh, yes, they had fixed bayonets, yeah.
Did you have a chance to eat or drink anything during the battle?
Oh, yeah, yeah. We had supplies there, the K rations we were issued with prior to the start of the battle. And obviously the water bottles we had, our own personal water bottles.
Do you remember saying anything to each other during the battle?
Not really. Just one of elation, I think, at the time. You know, a lot of shouting, telling the Chinese what you thought of them, and things like that. But
why do you think you did that?
I don't know, it's just tension relief, I suppose.
Were the Chinese making much noise?
They were at their bugles going, and they were shouting, and obviously orders, I should have thought. They were, you have to hand it to them, they were quite, we found out after, it was one of their crack armies what they were attacking our position. I think it was the 187th Division, 188th, and 189th, which were some of their crack troops. Apparently, they took such a maul in at the Indian battle that they got withdrawn after and went back to China, never took part in the trail campaign after.
Who was the senior man in 11th Platoon?
That was a lieutenant. That was a replacement lieutenant. Can't think of his name now. I can't think of his name offhand.
And who was the sergeant under him?
Sergeant Dean.
Was he killed?
No.
And then came you?
That's right, yeah. Well, three section commanders, three corporals.
Which section was yours?
Mine was number 11 platoon, and just the three sections in the platoon.
So you got, who brought the order to withdraw?
The officer behind us, you know, called down, you know, to withdraw under cover of smoke, which provided with the phosphorus grenades. They threw them in front, give you a smoke screen, and pulled out.
Was the withdrawal successful?
Oh, yes, we pulled back and regrouped a bit farther along the feature, back with Company HQ. Took up a defensive position there with a section of the Vickers machine guns from the support company.
We've just remembered the name of your officer.
That's right.
With 11 Platoon. It was Watmore, who's actually been interviewed by me and is on in our museum records. But you'd got as far as withdrawing to D Company HQ.
That's right, which was a bit farther back along the ridge.
What happened to you then?
Well, we took up a defensive position there, and after a while we were ordered to withdraw back to Gloucester Hill.
Was there any fighting for you at D Company HQ?
No. We never had no attacks there, no, not in that position. It was only a matter of an hour or so we were there, and then we had orders to pull back to Gloucester Hill.
What did you find at Gloucester Hill?
Well, we were very compacted in a small perimeter. I know we come under fire from the surrounding hills there. I can remember Major Hardin and the remnants of his company coming back up into our lines. They'd had quite heavy fighting, and they had a job to withdraw under fire, but a few of them got back to our positions and come back into the company's position. And we just had a close perimeter defensive position there, the old battalion.
Whereabouts on the perimeter were you?
We were, as you were looking at the engine, we were to the right. We had battalion HQ just behind us, with the medical centre where the wounded were taken, and that was it, you know, there.
What were the Chinese attacks like then as compared with the attacks on 11th Platoon?
Well, we didn't see so much of it, not D Company there. They were coming up in front of our position, but not tight to us. I think it was A Company, if I recall. They were overrun and drove off their position at one stage, and Farrockley, who was our adjutant, he led a counter charge and retook the position there. Which, if they had stayed there, the Chinese, they were overlooking our position, would have put us in dire straits. Yeah, it was, I think it was the artillery more or less saved us there, and they were firing from 8 miles back, I think, our 25-pounders, and we were calling in, or the CO was calling in fire tasks, well within the safety limits normally, because we were in such a small perimeter, and the Chinese were attacking on all sides. They kept calling down fire tasks for one side, and then to the other side, and we never had one shell fall short in our position. So it just shows how good the 25 Panders were.
This is the Royal Artillery?
No, it's our battalion, you know, the... Well, that's right, our guns, you know, British guns. I remember going down into the valley from that hill on the, what would that have been, on the Monday, I should think, yeah, the Monday, went down, a patrol led by RSM Hobbs, down into the valley to try to get some food and supplies, because by that stage we were out of water and no, obviously no food. Ammunition was getting short, and the RSM led a patrol of us down about 30 strong, if I recall, to try to get supplies from our vehicles in the valley.
Did you go?
Oh, yes, yeah.
What happened?
Well, we got there. I was left at the bottom of the hill with a squad to... cover their withdrawal. The RSM and the rest of the party went to the vehicles, got what equipment they could carry, mostly ammunition and a small amount of food and water, and then withdrew back to our positions, and we all withdrew back up to the hill again. The food was shared out. It was very little, you know, a can amongst four or five of you of food. Drop of water, which was the main thing. The Vickers machine guns were short of water. You know, I can remember the old army thing of passing the can round, trying to get water, urinate in the can for water for the machine guns, the Vickers, which were water cooled. Not very successful because everyone was dehydrated in any case. Yeah, this was on the, you know, the final stages of that.
Was there any stream running through the position?
No, no. No, this was on a high feature on top of the...
Was there any air support for the position?
Yes, we had air support dropping napalm and bombs on the Chinese build up at the base of the hill to launch their attacks. They napalm them, you know, quite badly. Each time they formed up, we called in air support or artillery support, you know, to break up the attacks. They were in such large numbers, if they hadn't done this, we'd have been overwhelmed.
Any other incidents you can remember from the siege of Gloucester Hill?
Well, I remember we were told tanks were trying to break through to us with the relief column, which we thought would be there any moment, and then we have the news that they've been halted about 4 miles away, and they won't be coming after all. So that was on